I found the instructions for a wife and a mother in Housekeeping Monthly. Here's what it says. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious dinner ready when your husband gets home from work. You're already laughing? This is a way of letting him know you have been thinking about him and are concerned with his needs. Prepare yourself. Put on some makeup. Put a ribbon in your hair. Be fresh looking. He's been with a lot of work-weary people. Prepare the children. Take a few minutes to wash them up, brush their hair, and change their clothes if needed. Remember, they are little treasures, and he would like to see them playing the part. Have a cool or warm drink for him, and arrange his pillow, puff his pillow up, take off his shoes. Over the cooler months, you should prepare and light a fire for him to unwind. After all, catering to his comfort will bring you immense satisfaction. Let him talk first. Remember that his topics of conversation are more important than yours. Never, never complain. If he comes home late, or goes out to dinner or entertainment without you. Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressure and his need to relax. You think I'm kidding you? I'm telling you, this story was written in Housekeeping Monthly in 1965. Things have changed. Some of you say, no, they haven't. They never were that way in the first place. Golly. Were y'all listening to yourselves while I was reading that? Wow. Amazing. I want to talk about motherhood today, but maybe in a different way than you're thinking. I found an article by Jen Wilkins. This lady had some tremendous insight. And let me just introduce some of the things that she said this morning. She said, one of my favorite books as a child was the classic by P.D. Eastman, Are You My Mother? Remember that one? Baby bird falls from his nest, goes in search of his mother, doesn't know what his mother looks like, so he asks the hound dog, are you my mother, an old car, you know, all kinds of stuff. And as the little bird goes along searching, he passes right near his mother without even being aware that it's her. The text reads, he did not know what his mother looked like. He went right by her. He did not see her, having met with disappointment and even danger again and again. At last, he would find her on the last page. Everybody sighed with relief, and he found his mother. Point of the book is babies need their mamas. Babies need their mamas. Another lady, and we'll go back to what she's going to say here, and we'll read a text from Scripture. In 1990, Satsuki Oiwa. In 1990, a Japanese businesswoman founded an unusual enterprise, noticing that many elderly Japanese were increasingly isolated from their children by the frantic pace of contemporary life. Oiwa set up a company through which a lonely person could actually rent a family. For only $1,130, this is in 1990, She said, "We will arrange for a surrogate son, daughter, and grandchild, whatever relative you want, to show up your door and gush as if they hadn't seen you in years. They'll share lunch with you, spend a few hours talking, handle an odd job or two if you like, and then bid you the best of days." The idea, this article says, would be almost comical if it weren't for the fact that thousands of people hired her service. When asked why she believed her business had taken off, Satsuki said, "What is common about our clients is that they are thirsty for love. Babies need their mamas, and people are thirsty for love." Now, let me read to you what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. So he's away from them, so he's writing a letter to the saints there. He started the church there. He's the guy that came and shared the gospel with them initially. So now, you know, these folks that he's writing to, they had received the Lord, they had become Christians, but most of them relatively are still new believers and new in the faith, even though many of them came out of the Jewish faith, and so they had a lot of background there. But there are also a lot of Gentiles who had no background at all. And here's what he writes to them in part. Verse 6, chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians. "Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." Hey, he's saying, you know, hey, look, you know, particularly in his case, he saw the Lord, had a personal experience with the risen Jesus of Christ, I mean, in 3D. And, I mean, he's an apostle. I mean, he could make demands. He could say, "Look, man, I say jump, you say how high." I said, but we didn't do that, okay? Here's what we did do. Verse 7. "But we were gentle among you, just as a wet mother, just as a nursing mother cherishes not someone else's children, but her own children." So this is not a surrogate mother. This is a mother who has her own children, and she sees the need of her child, of her children, and she says, "I'm going to meet that need. I'm going to do what it takes." The way a wet mother, a nursing mother, attends to the needs of her child, that's the way we treated you. And we did so with gentleness. "So affectionately," verse 8, "longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God." I mean, if you stopped right there, you'd say, way to go, right? You shared the gospel with these people and they got saved, but they didn't stop right there. And why didn't they? Because they knew that they had a larger responsibility. That the gospel doesn't just stop with conversion, it continues. In fact, it continues for life. They said, "We not only shared the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become dear to us." So there's our text today. Now, when we go back to Jen, she's going to share her experience, and we'll relate to that. We'll relate her experience to what Paul is saying in his text. So she says this, "I'm in my mid-40s now, and I've raised all my kids." So she's become a what we call an empty nester, right? And so she's like, okay, so this is making her think. And she says, well, what do I do now? And so she begins to talk about her experience. And she said, "I'm not too sure how I feel about this in being an empty nester." Because she's spent all of her time, not all of her time, but a lot of her time giving attention to her biological kids. And you know, and you have to, right? I mean, there's just so much to do, and you're watching out. You don't want them to get hurt. You don't want them to get run over. You got to check their ears, see how much wax is in there. You know, I mean, you know, are they clean? Have they brushed their teeth? Are they eating enough? Are they drinking enough water? They got to have all their shots. It goes on and on ad nauseum. And yet, having done all that, and then all of a sudden it's just changes in her life, she wasn't sure about that. So it made her really reflect on her own life. And she says, "But I know better, quote, than to think that my mothering days are drawing to a close." What is she talking about? Now, I'll tell you what she's not talking about. So, you know, and now I can talk about them again because Drew and Michelle aren't here. By the way, when I referenced him the other day about that bill being on the $3,000 on her credit card, I didn't know what it was. Then I realized it was Drew and his honeymoon. He said, "You forgot to tell him that we paid you back for that." So I got a little grief about that. So they paid us back. They just used our credit card. So I'm supposed to tell you that. So anyway, they're doing the wedding thing right, you know, and we're on the male side, not the female side. Y'all know what that means? Okay. Let me tell you what that means. So Allison, while we're going through this process, and it's been a great process, but anyway, so she says to her mother, she says, "Mom, blah, 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 blah." And this is what her mom says. And her mom has taken one of these personality tests, and in the personality test, it designated her as a wise old owl. A smart gal. And so Allison's telling her, you know, about this and this and this, you know. And so her mama says to her, she says, "Well, Allison," "Well, Allison, were your panties showing?" Allison says, "What panties showing? What's she talking about? Mom, what do you mean?" She says, "What I mean is, when you were traveling from the front seat to the back seat, were your panties showing in the process? Because if you haven't found out yet, you're not in the front seat anymore. You're not driving the car anymore. Somebody else is driving that car." Isn't that pretty smart? Did you get the picture, Allison? Ooh, boy, burnt roast for dinner today. Happy Mother's Day. Her mama, though, and her dad, particularly her father, I'm backing up now. I'm just trying to get back into good graces here. But her dad was a big help to me. He was a big influence on me because I would see him in there. He'd get right in it with helping with dinner, washing dishes, cleaning, doing everything he could, really, to help Allison's mom. And my dad, you know, he came from that old school. I don't think my dad ever changed a diaper. And maybe that's the way it used to be way back when. Maybe you can ask your dad or your grandpa, and they probably never did either. And that's all changed, you know. And I was glad to be a part of all that and help. But I had someone who influenced me and helped me. Well, this thing about being an empty nester, when she was speaking about this with Jen, she wasn't talking about, you know, with her biological kids that it shouldn't change. Here's what she says. She says, a quote again, "I know better than to think my mothering days are drawing to a close," but she's not talking about with her physiological kids because that time has passed. She says, "I know this because God calls every believing woman to be a mother." Now, I would correct her and say that God has called every believing believer to be a mother. You say, "How can you say that?" I just read you the scripture in 1 Thessalonians, where the Apostle Paul said, he, along with the other believers that started the church and worked the church, were like a nursing wet mother to these believers. Jen is saying In the rest of the article here, she's saying, I recognize that my responsibility that God has given me is beyond my biological children. My sphere of influence and leadership and responsibility and accountability, she says, moves beyond just my immediate family. And I'm telling you, there's probably a lot of Christians that haven't caught on to that. Now, when you're raising your kids and they're little and there's different stages and all that, sometimes it's overwhelming and it's about all you can think about, okay? I know, we've done all that. Many of you have done all that. I mean, it's consuming, okay? But then life changes. And so what the Lord may be saying through Jen is, well, wait a minute, just because we raise our biological kids doesn't mean it's over at all. We still have a job. So she noted that when God gave the command to Adam and Eve, the command was to go and multiply and be fruitful, right? So have biological kids, you know, if that's possible. She says, but that's not the only command that God gave. That was in the beginning of the Old Testament, but then God gave another command in the beginning of the New Testament, and that's at the end of Matthew. And that's called the Great Commission. That's where God commands us to make disciples. And what's a disciple? A disciple in John chapter 3 is a person who was lost, didn't know the Lord, and they became born again. They are born into a new family. And when these new believers are born into a new family, they're just like little babies. And they have all these needs in their life. They don't know where to turn left or right. They don't know a lot of the stuff because they haven't been around. And oh, man, and not everybody has their best interests in mind. There was a guy in the early service, Scott Sears, and he came up to me last Sunday. He said, Mike, could I get with you and this other lady? This other lady that I know is a Baptist, but she's being drawn in by the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they want her to join their church, and she's got all these questions, and she wants to know if she can visit with you and me and talk about what the real truth is. And I said, name the time and place. But what's Scott being like to her? Like a mother. See, she has a need. Let me tell you something that happened last week. We got a guy in our church, brand new believer. He hadn't been saved but about 3 or 4 months. And he was here in the early service, and I shared this experience while he was there. We talked after the service. So anyway, last week, he texted me. He said, Brother Mike, he said, my aunt Rosemary is very close to dying. And we're all over here, all the relatives. She can't talk. I am not sure she's a Christian. I'm not sure. He's only been saved 3 or 4 months. He said, but I'm not sure that when she dies, she's going to go to heaven. What do I do? Okay? So I says, can you get email? You know? And he said, yeah. I said, okay. I'm going to send you an email. So go to the email deal so you can see what I'm fixing to write you. So I got on there and I said, here's what I want you to do, Rain. I said, and I wrote down like the normal confession, you know, of the intellectual stuff on the facts, you know, believing that Jesus is God, died on the cross, you know, that kind of thing. And so I said, here's what I want you to do, Rain. I said, I want you to ask your family if you can go in there and have a few minutes alone with her, okay, because you need to get everybody else away. Then I want you to take what I wrote you about who Jesus is and all that, and I want you to get right up into her ear, real close. Even though she can't talk, she's going to be able to hear you. And I want you to grab her hand. And I want you to say, Aunt Rosemary, you believe that Jesus Christ is God, don't you? You believe that he died on the cross and rose from the grave and that he is your Savior. You believe that, don't you, Aunt Rosemary? And if she says yes, I want you to tell her to squeeze your hand. And then after that, I want you to lead her into the prayer where she can invite Jesus Christ to come into her life silently. And if she prays that prayer, I want you to tell her to squeeze your hand. Well, so I said, I'll be praying for you and Aunt Rosemary. And then I didn't hear back from Rain in a couple days. And so he texted me back. And he says, Brother Mike, he said, Aunt Rosemary, I did just what you said. And Aunt Rosemary squeezed my hand. And she was trying to talk and tell me that she prayed that prayer. But she asked the Lord to come into her life. Now, what was Rain being on that given day? Like a mother. His aunt had it. You know what a mother does? See, a mother sees a need in the life of her children. And she says, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help my child and get what my child needs. If my child has a learning disability, I'm going to do whatever I can to help my child. If my child wants to go to college or a vocational school, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to try to meet that need because I love my child. That's what a mother does. And Paul is saying, we not only shared the gospel with you guys, but our very own lives, and we did it in tenderness like a wet mother. In other words, we saw the need, and we moved outside ourselves, and we said, hey, we're going to be there for you. What's God saying to us 2,000 years later? Well, being a wife and a mother may have changed since 1965. You know, if I was a Jewish rabbi and I was going to bless all the men out here, I might say, may the Lord puff up your pillow. You know? But we don't live in that day. So some things change, but some things do not change. The Word of God does not change. And the command to make disciples does not change. I'm so thankful that... had a guy by the name of Claude Townsend who saw the need in my life as a young minister and decided to spend 20 years with me, pouring his life into me. You see, babies need their mamas. And we have folks in the body of Christ who are at different stages of their lives, and they need a mama. When I got saved, I'm like a lot of people. The rest of my family wasn't saved yet, so I didn't have a saved mom and dad at the time. So they couldn't really be a spiritual mother and father to me. So once I got saved and I got in the faith, there was another lady by the name of Frances, and when I talked to her just the other day, she's up in the nursing home up in Forney, Texas, and she's leading people to the Lord left and right. She said, this is my last stop, and these wise people don't know the Lord, and so she's sharing the gospel with them. But anyway, Frances saw a need in my life, and I didn't have a spiritual mother, and she became my spiritual mother. She encouraged me. You know what she used to tell me? She'd bring me over the house, and she'd feed me tacos or whatever, and she'd say, Mike, God has a plan for you. Like, really? For me? Yeah, he's got a plan for you. And she would encourage me. And she was like that force in my life that it helped me through a lot of problems. And I had some issues I had to deal with. I'd come and talk to Frances about it. She'd pray with me. Everybody needs somebody like that. And what God wants us to do is not be molded into the Western culture that we have grown accustomed to, which is all about consumerism. It's all about me. It's all about, you know, this right here, and not looking beyond yourself. Because when you start looking beyond yourself, you start becoming not selfish, less selfish, and more unselfish. But most folks, they're just, it's all about this right here. And we do have to to look after ourselves. We do have to look after our children. That is a huge responsibility, but it doesn't stop there. That's the point today. That's what Paul is saying. It didn't stop his responsibility with even just sharing the gospel with those folks, but nurturing them, giving them the milk that they need. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter says, crave the spiritual milk of the word that you might grow up. God wants to use you, and he wants to use me to do that. Well, she writes, as I begin to close, nurturing the helpless and weak to maturity and strength. A spiritual mother helps the young believer to nurse on the pure milk of the word, faithfully teaching God's word, modeling the fruit of the Spirit. She sacrificially makes herself available like the mother of a newborn infant, allowing her schedule and personal needs to be inconvenienced for the sake of caring for the spiritually young and vulnerable. Connecting spiritual infants to spiritual mamas is not always a smooth process, but it is worth the sacrifice. And finally, she says, the church needs mothers to care for the family of God. I want you to bow your heads and pray with me this morning as we close. You don't want to go all through your Christian life and have to look back and say to yourself, all I did was really warm a pew. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, your own family. Say you did a great job with your family, and that's wonderful, and we got to do that. But outside of that, what do you got? Outside of your kids, outside of your marriage, outside of your relationship with your parents, what do you got? Write it down. Do you have a name? Do you have a person that you have been a spiritual mama to? And that person may not be just a new Christian. It might be somebody that's been in the faith for 30 years, but they're really having dark times in their life, and they need somebody to stand shoulder to shoulder with them, to pray with them, to be there with them, to call them on the phone, to write them an encouraging letter. Is there somebody like that in your past? And the next question is there somebody like that in your present? You say, well, Brother Mike, I think you're right. I think you're on the right track here, but I don't know. I don't know that person. I don't know of him or her. That's okay. Here's what you can do. You can start petitioning God that the Lord will give you somebody. What do you think God will do with that prayer? Now, you can't just pray it one time and say, well, that didn't work. No, you've got to continue in that. Every day, I would encourage you to pray and say, Lord, who is it that you want to put in my life that I might be like a spiritual mom to him? I'm not saying that I'm Mr. Spiritual Guru. That's not what God is saying here. Who is it that I can look outside myself, outside my own immediate family, and be a help to? Be like a nurse to? Stand shoulder to shoulder. Express tenderness and compassion and love. Lord, I'm going to pray that you give me somebody. I don't want to go through this life without having influenced someone for the gospel and the gospel's sake and the kingdom.